flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Well, you know what that song means. It is the return of the prodigal son. The youngest in charge, Donnell Willingham, back with you here on the Team 980 as we get you geared up for Commanders and Eagles coming up on Sunday. But I'm not alone, ladies and gentlemen. My better half, some of you may call him the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, K-9. What's going on, player?
Well, I'm just recovering from the glorified intro that the Rooster gave us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. That's the way. It's really good to start your show off really feeling good about yourself. And but that's our guy, Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
No, it's good. And we just hope that the Hoffman, I mean, he was throwing flamethrower. He was a flamethrower yesterday. It shows you how well he played hurt. I had no idea that he was down because he was spitting fire yesterday.
What about to say?
Excellent show. So I was caught a little bit off guard, but we do hope that he heals because the game is not going to wait on any of us.
No, it is not. As you mentioned, 3 days away from the first NFC championship game that Washington has participated in since 1991. We'll cover a lot here in the next 3 hours. We'll take you up to 7 o'clock. We'll let you hear from the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, Joe Witt. Doc, I can't wait to get your reaction to what he had to say. Talking tough, talking with his chest out, as he should, DOC, because this Commanders defense, say what you want about the yard, say what you want about how many points they've allowed in the two postseason games, that group is turning the football over at a rapid rate. We will look at the Commanders' defense by the numbers in the 5 o'clock hour. Our pal Dan Bazuda of the 33rd team going to join us to give us an X's and O's preview. But, Doc, I want to start right here. As we sit here 3 days away from the biggest game of my lifetime, am I fair in calling it that?
Well, for you, it's accurate, yeah.
The biggest game of my lifetime. As we're 3 days away, I wanted to start to get into some of the biggest differences in this rubber match between Washington and Philadelphia. As you all know, these two teams met twice during the regular season. The two teams split the regular season series one apiece, with the home team winning each game. There were a couple of big differences in these football games, though, and the one that I want to start off here with, DOC, and get your opinion in terms of how it will impact this football game. John Allen didn't play a snap in either of the two games against Philadelphia. And if you've watched this team down the stretch, you know John Allen has been hell on wheels rushing the passer. I thought he was really good in the wild card game. Even though it didn't show up in the stat sheet, DOC, I thought he was a big reason why Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner were able to play fast and come downhill against Tampa's rushing attack. For you, what does the return of John Allen mean for this weekend?
Well, it's been mentioned, and I'm glad people noticed it. It's the rehab to push his body to the point where when you have elite athletes and strong athletes training and they're healthy and you're injured, that's spotting people time and strength. It's an amazing accomplishment by a guy that didn't have to do that to come back, may not have ever been doubted. He may never get the credit for this, but I'm glad we're talking about it because it's amazing the effort he put forth, and just in the nick of time, because they need interior girth.
Yes.
You can't ever be big enough in the middle. That's why Philly is so represented, because they got girth. And we're paying for it. Now we're getting some return on investment. And that's the one missing part this defense had. We invested in it.
Yeah.
Now we're getting a return.
And I think it's going to be huge. Like I mentioned, I think he's been good in each of the last 2 weeks. I know he's getting a lot of credit for the way he played Sunday. 6 quarterback pressures, his most in a game since 2022. So clearly you were able to feel his impact last week. Sam LaPorta, Doc, you remember, makes that ridiculous touchdown catch. If it's not for that, John Allen's name is getting called again because he should have had a sack of Jared Goff. But, yeah, I think John's return to this thing is huge. You've covered the NFL for a long time. We hate the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the one thing I'm going to start off by saying it. But I give credit.
Do you hate the Eagles or do you hate their fan base?
I hate their fan base. Let me not say I hate the team. I hate the fan base.
Yeah.
But we got to give credit where credit is due. This rushing attack that Philadelphia has put together is one of the best we've seen in the 2000s. Saquon Barkley basically, you know, kind of threw in the white towel at the end of the regular season and said, hey, look, I don't want Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. Because guess what, DLC? If he would have put his mind to it, if they didn't have bigger things to play for, he would have had it. And me and you have talked off the record about just how difficult that record was going to be in terms of being broken. The fact that this group got so close, I think, shows you just how efficient they've been running the football. And as we know, right, one of Washington's big Achilles heels this year has been their inability to stop the run. I want to go back to that second matchup real quick here for a second, DOC. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts goes out of the football game, and Washington defended the run a lot better when he wasn't in. I feel like as we get geared up for this weekend, Jalen Hurts going to be back into the lineup. So you're going to get a fully healthy Philadelphia Eagles offense. When you take a look at what they present in the running game, who scares you more? Is it Jalen Hurts and his ability to bust one for 44 yards like he did last week against L.A.? Or is it Saquon Barkley, the home run threat ability, right, DOC? And then he's ripping off 4, 5, 6 yards at a time.
Yeah, Philly is number one. I would say they're number one dual threat, because B-Rob is just resurrected from the dead, so now he's back. What I think we have is more of the Swiss Army knife, because I can't talk about our running game and not mention Eckler, because he's the wild card. Because if Philly's healthy, there's no doubt about it, they may be the most talented team in the world, but we know that they're not. And the wild card is Eckler, because what he is a flat-out producer. He reminds me of a guy like Jeter, you know, of the Yanks. Every time he's on the field, he makes plays. He doesn't come up with the excuse. He didn't get it. No, he always makes plays.
I'm tired.
No. They have to knock him out to get him up. That's the only way he doesn't produce, if you put him to sleep. Other than that, he's cash money. So if B-Rob, if everybody else shows up, we win. Because Eckler is cash money. And you know JD5 is cash money. Now, who else can say that? That they have 2 guaranteed ballers. They don't fail.
They don't.
They don't fail. And that's where Philadelphia, that boy in the backfield, he don't fail. That's the dumbest move, one of the dumbest moves in the history of sports. The Giant, and that guy still has a job, but we know that's the NFL.
Well, yeah.
There are more guys crazy as a road lizard employed in the NFL than any other sport on the planet.
Yeah, it is crazy to see. You mentioned what Washington has in the backfield with Daniels and whoever they line up next to him at tailback. On the flip side of this thing, I think what's made Philadelphia's rushing attack so lethal this year compared to others is that Saquon Barkley, I always say it, if you are a running back that plays in an offense where your quarterback is a legit dual threat and a legit, you know, piece that the defense has to key in on week in and week out, it's sort of like a cheat code for the running back. You got to go off. You don't have all the attention on you, which is why during that latter stretch of the season for Washington, I'm looking at guys like, well, what the hell's going on? Jaden's legs are finally starting to become a real legitimate factor again, and the traditional running game completely disappears. I want to continue to focus on Philly's rushing attack, though, Doc, because I think that ends up being, in my opinion, the key to this football game. Can you make them one-dimensional? Can you make Jalen Hurts beat you?
Agreed.
We're talking about differences here in this rubber match. Jalen Hurts, you remember, Doc, did not really play in that second meeting at Washington in week 16, and you saw the difference in how Washington was able to defend Philadelphia. They're stacking 7-8 guys in the box. They're playing man-to-man coverage on the outside. Do you think that is the game plan this weekend? And if it is, how do you think John Allen, you know, impacts that?
Well, both teams have an advantage when they're playing with big guards.
For sure.
Because what separates this league is that what Philadelphia has done, basically the same thing that Joe Gibbs did, when you have tackles playing guard, a tackle playing guard,
his ass is huge.
You gain an advantage.
Yeah.
Now, it's a disadvantage in pass pro, but if the other guy on that flanks him to his right or left, they're all pro bowlers, it's hard to lose. And they got a mobile quarterback. Mobility is the number one asset in this game. If it's at the quarterback position, you just have more options than the others. It's not how well he throws. It's how mobile he is. Difficult to sack. That's what Hurts gives them. If JD5 was in Philly,
oh my goodness,
people would just forfeit. They wouldn't even want to play the games. Because he's deadly in the pocket throwing. With their setup, that's a preview of what Washington possibly will become. They don't need it to beat them, but it's the possibility of it because you're just going to get better. And the key to it is your boy Trent Scott, because the common denominator, or the one that gets you over the hump, is the big guard.
Yeah.
Because they have a distinct advantage with their defensive tackles. How do you minimize that? Well, you put an elephant in the phone booth. That's what they do. And last week is any indication of things to come, we're going to be all right.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned Trent Scott, and we will discuss the decision that Washington has to make up front along the offensive line coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. But because there is because Trent Scott had to get inserted into the lineup last week, Doc, means no Sam Cosmi for this week. And when you're going up against a big freakazoid like Jalen Carter, who, for my money, right now is probably the best defensive tackle in the National Football League. Not having your Pro Bowl guard is a huge loss. I, like you mentioned, though, I thought Trent Scott came in and played really well last week. But it's a difference, right, going up against DJ Reader and practice squad guys on the defensive front.
Did you see him body slam that dude in the game?
Well, he's a monster. He's a monster when he's going up against that group, right?
But that's my point. He did that in a game against the Lions. That's what you need. You don't need a guy for style points. You need a thug to play a thug. It's perfect. I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather have him than Cosmi hurt.
Well, 100%.
I don't want nobody injured going up against that freak they have.
What we'll discuss a little bit later on is the idea of Washington playing their best five. But right now, DOC, I want to kick it out to Trent Scott, who spoke today post-practice about last week's opportunity and what he's been told to expect this week.
Feels good, man, especially when you get the win. That's the main thing, you know. So always willing to do whatever the team needs to get the job done, and that week it just happened to be guard.
So many people this season and these last couple weeks have talked about how Dan Quinn makes everyone in this locker room feel included, everyone make feel like they're a part of all of the success. Do you feel like that right now personally?
100%. I think it's the culture that him and AP built in when they first came in, and just that next man up mentality. And you see guys like Chris Rodriguez and J-Mac do that all season whenever their name is called. So it's just we all have a responsibility, and the team expected not to drop off.
And you guys as an offensive line have had your ups and downs this season. As a unit, how do you guys feel right at this very moment?
I mean, you just try to get better every week. And that's kind of what we build on here. It's just we come in every week, stick to the process, and every week's about getting better. So the more you play together, of course, you build that cohesion, and just looking forward to doing it again, trying to get better again this week.
It's Commanders tackle Trent Scott speaking post-practice earlier today. DOC, I say it all the time, my man, first when I do this. I've given Trent Scott hell this year. I've talked
about it.
Look, he wasn't playing very well at the tackle spot. Mm-hmm. I think they may have found something potentially with him at guard. That's why the decision they've got to make this weekend is going to be huge. But like I said a moment ago, Jalen Carter is just a different type of cat. He's got the ability to wreck the game. He's got the ability to really dictate how you call your game plan offensively. I remember in that second meeting, though, Jaden Daniels was 100% healthy. And in the waning moments of that football game, when he had, what was it, the 22-yard scramble that he had on fourth down, he breaks the tackle of Jalen Carter and shows, doesn't matter who we have up front, they've got to bring me down to the ground. So I worry about Washington's offensive line a little bit without Cosme, but not a lot because of how special the quarterback is. The big thing that I think really concerns me about this football game overall in terms of, like, differences here in this rubber match is how Washington ultimately comes out and defends Philadelphia. We remember the last time these two teams played, it was really Marshawn Lattimore's first game against a legitimate wide receiver in this defense. Had a couple of pass interference penalties, gave up a touchdown to A.J. Brown. With him being fully healthy, DOC, based on the way he's played in these first two postseason games, do you expect to get that Pro Bowl, all-pro level version of Marshawn Lattimore?
Well, it's going to be closer.
Yeah.
You can't put a man in at this level and he's that far behind. That shows you how talented he is.
Yeah.
But Stan Restill and the boys are making up slack.
I love Mike.
The more pressure we get on the quarterback, and he's not playing a pick-you-apart quarterback.
Right.
He's playing a guy that's going to look, see, check it out, throw a run. So it's a good combination for him. He'll be much better than he was the first meeting, and that's all he's got to be. It's just a little bit better than he was. Because the talk show hosts from Philly can talk all the trash they want to. The pressure is on Philadelphia. Because they're the program that traditionally has gagged when being the leading man.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have thrown up all over themselves when they were supposed to do something. So they can talk all the trash they want to, but we all know that they were not thrilled to see JT5 and company beat Detroit.
But I'm calling them the boogeyman at this point. Nobody wants to see him. I mean, it's so crazy to think about. Exactly.
They're smart.
It's crazy to think about where it all started this season and how this group is kind of hit its stride at the most important time of the season. I was trying to think of, like, teams I could compare them to. I look at that 07 Giants team, Doc, that upended the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, ending their undefeated streak. Their pass rush kind of got going at the right time. The offense started to click at the right time.
Not in his first year, though. There's no comparison.
Nobody's done it in their first year.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, you had Coughlin. You had a general. You had quarter. You just now, first year, organization, front office, ownership, the trifecta. Who's done it?
No one. No one has it.
That's my point.
The crazy part about it all is that this is probably the worst it's going to end up being. And I'm glad that you brought up the trash talk from our old pals at WIP in Philadelphia.
I wouldn't give to be there.
Oh. I'm about to say, man, look, you've been a part of this rivalry for a long, long, long time.
Oh, I'd love to be here.
This is the first time, I believe, that Washington and Philadelphia have met for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Do you feel the big game buzz? Does it feel a little bit more because it is a division rival?
Yeah, it is. It's like you expect to play Dallas three times a year. That's when you know you're running. You're doing it right. They expect it. You should expect it. Or the Giants. Or Philly. This is the way it's supposed to be. The rite of passage is to go through the East, and we feel like whoever wins the East wins the world. And so this is normal. I mean, for it to happen this early, the one thing you can say, and everybody has their own version of it, you may end up with better players down the road, but you may never equal the spirit of this team.
Yeah, for sure.
Because this team's desperation is one thing for me to know I can't do it without you.
Yeah.
As opposed to, Well, I probably can. It'd be cool if you chip in. But no, they play with desperation. They play like our teams play.
You can't fake desperation.
We had to have everybody to do it. That's why I go 53 strong. There's no such thing as a backup on a really good team. Backup, it's just when your turn, numbers call, go do your damn job. Because everybody has to do it in order for us to win. So that John can do his thing, Art can do his thing, Gary. It's a pecking order. Do your job. Don't be late. Don't jump off sides. Because we can't afford to give away real estate. And that's where I see this team now. I mean, when you get a guy like five, who's a freak, now the pressure now is on the opponent because they're scared to death to be close at the end. They have flipped the script. And then you get a guy who just, and thank God the Bears have a new coach. And I hope he continues to leave his best players off the field in Detroit.
What was your thoughts on that happen? Because I said, wow. That to me, I guess the Quan Martin interception was kind of the, wow, we're really here. We really belong in this football game moment. But after Mikey gets the second pick, I said,
bro, let me tell you something. I know this is not going to be popular, mm-hmm. and I don't give a rat's ass. If you on my staff,
yeah.
Let me hear you talk about another job. I'd fire you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because, see, this is like NIL. Kids talking about transferring in the middle of bowl games.
Yeah.
See, this is just stupidity. You can wait until your team is out. All this stuff is ridiculous. So that man's head is somewhere else. Because he got O.J. Simpson and Jim Brown on his team. And I'm sitting here going, is this cat going to literally not put this boy in the game and give him the ball every daggone play?
Talk about Jahmyr Gibbs, right? I felt like every time Gibbs touched the ball last weekend,
what?
Good things happened for Detroit on the offensive side. I know this. Kellen Moore may not be as decorated of an offensive coordinator as Ben Johnson is, but he won't make the mistake of not feeding Saquon Barkley coming up on Sunday. Washington's got to be aware of where number 26 is. We'll continue to give you a full-scale breakdown of Eagles and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. A lot more to get to here on the Hoffman Show. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, our pal Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team will join us to take an X's and O's look and get to some of the numbers in this game coming up on Sunday. When we get back, though, I want to continue to look at the big differences here in the rubber match between Washington and Philadelphia. We'll take your calls on it as well. 301-230-0980. It's next here on the Hoffman Show. Still rocking and rolling here on the Team 980. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. We will take you up to 7 o'clock as we sit in for Craig Hoffman, getting you geared up for the biggest game of my lifetime coming up on Sunday, Washington and Philadelphia, the rubber match. Winner gets to punch their ticket to the Super Bowl, DOC. A big game coming up Sunday. We want to take your calls at 301-230-0980 on the biggest difference in the Commanders and Eagles rubber match. These two teams played twice during the regular season, but both of those two football games, DLC, the teams looked a lot different. John Allen didn't play in the first two meetings between these two teams. Marshawn Lattimore was not healthy for the second meeting. And then this is the big difference that I want to continue to focus in on, and we'll expand upon it more in the 5 o'clock hour. Not having Sam Cosby in this football game, I think, is going to be huge. And then the other thing that I think we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about, Jalen Hurts is not going to be 100%. He barely played in that second matchup. So we'll take your calls on that, 301-230-0980. I want to look at the offensive line as a whole, DOC, because I think – that, to me, is going to be the big determining factor here. Washington's traditional running game got going last weekend in Detroit. Brian Robinson ran like a guy that wanted more carries. Now, this is no disrespect to Detroit's front seven, but Philadelphia is an entirely different beast. Jalen Carter, for my money, the best interior defensive lineman in football. And the linebackers that they have are damn good as well. If you are the Washington Commanders, DOC, do you waste time running the football on Sunday, or do you go with what they've done here during the seven-game win streak, this ball control, passing offense, where it's the quick game being on full display, where it's the screen game being on full display, and then when all hell breaks loose, Five puts on the cape and turns into Superman.
No, I think you stay true to what you've done, what's worked, and that is punching the belly of the beast. They lost one of their best inside backers. So they're never going to be what they were before. They got to pay for that. So I'm going to test the backup. I'm going to test like they're testing our people, we're testing theirs. I think because if it were an edge position, I'd be a little concerned. This is a phone booth with a monster. I got a monster. I'm not worried. It's short space. It's like a sparring partner. And so Muhammad Ali, his sparring partner was Ernie Holmes. Big on big.
Yep.
He ain't, this boy in Philly is a bad man. He ain't throwing this dude around.
No.
That ain't happening. If Cosme was not 100%, he loses that fight over the long haul.
Yeah.
You ain't putting a guy against the elite athlete.
He was struggling with him at 100%.
So I like where we are right now. And it's also JD5. Everybody has to look at it. If Hurst was 100%, we'd think the same way about him, but he's not.
Right.
He's not. And you can't make him that in 3 or 4 days. Not going to happen. So when we get there, we just have to tackle. Because Saquon is going to do just what JD5 does.
Yeah.
He's going to make people miss. He's going to be the guy who gets his stats every time he performs. He's unstoppable.
Yeah.
So is JD5.
Yes, containing Saquon, to me, is the big thing here in this football game. And if Jalen Hurts is not going to be 100% as a runner, do you commit the extra defender to him down in and down out, or do you make him prove to you, hey, I'm healthy, I can beat you? Because I look at it like this. When he exited that football game in the second matchup between these two teams this season, Philadelphia looked like a completely different rushing attack. You take away a 64-yard touchdown run that he had, you take away that run, and they were an anemic group offensively. Now, the five up front are still the same. And I think Washington's gotten better by gaining a man back. John Allen is – say what you want about John Allen. I'm a man first. I will apologize when I am wrong. I was wrong about Trent Scott. Well, I was wrong about Trent Scott at
– Well, you weren't wrong.
I was wrong about him.
He got better. No. You ain't got to take it back. Your eyes didn't lie.
Because he wasn't very good at tackle. He's better now.
What does DQ say?
He's better in guard.
DQ says we get better every day.
For sure.
We improve every day. He shouldn't be the same guy he was 7 weeks ago.
100%. And I think John
Allen. He's a byproduct of a sound system.
Well, for sure. And I just think him, like you said, it's anytime you get to take one of these big behemoths and put them inside, they get to the hand placement's a little bit easier.
Yes.
You're just as strong as the guy on the interior. So I think he's much better as a guard. But on the flip side, you didn't have Jonathan Allen, and he comes back now. When he played earlier this year in that first matchup, when he played earlier this year and the run defense wasn't very good, I questioned him. I wondered, was John Allen going to be a big piece of this thing moving forward? Since he has returned from injury, he wasn't very good versus Dallas. I thought he was impactful in the first game back against Atlanta. But the last two weeks, last week was one of those stat stuffer performances, six pressures most since 2022. But I look back at the game against Tampa. He's got to replicate that performance. Tampa wanted to run the football. They tried to get it going with Bucky Irving. But John Allen being strong at the point of attack, not letting the guards get up to the backers.
He imposed his will.
You saw Bobby Wagner in return, though, DOC, have his best game in a while. And
they work in tandem.
They work in tandem. And I think that's going to have to happen this weekend, 100%.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's like you show me the heavyweight champion of the world. First thing I ask you, who's the sparring partner?
Yeah.
And usually you'll find that sparring partner will eventually become a champion on his own. Because you got to go up against people that have the ability to beat you.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're kidding yourself. Iron sharpens iron. And so if I'm paying you $23, $24, $25 million a year.
Yeah, show up.
And I'm not leading the league in no category. Something's wrong.
You got to show up.
So for everything that Philadelphia has. We have it too. We just need to start doing it. We ain't got to apologize for nothing with that payroll from what we're paying. Now you're getting the results.
Easier said than done. The biggest differences to you in the rubber match between Washington and Philadelphia coming up on Sunday, is it the return of Jonathan Allen? Is it having a healthy Marshawn Lattimore? Is it Sam Cosmi being out? Is it Jalen Hurts playing the entirety of the game? We'll take your calls at 301-230-0980. Alex wants to tap in. Alex, what do you think ends up being the biggest difference in this rubber match coming up Sunday?
Hey, what's going on? Y'all get some charge.
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm at old 88.
What's up, baby?
Now, basically, you know, I'm listening, and so's my co-workers, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I just let the game come, man. You know, we have professional players, too, you know, they get paid also. I'm very sure that Scott is going to do a great job. I mean, the skin hasn't come this far because they're to give up on the biggest game that we ever had in 2-3 decades now.
So, well, look, it ain't about them giving up. If you get whooped, you get whooped.
I'm just saying. They're going to bring it too. I mean, they just need not to worry about if Philly jumps on top of them. You know, they always have answers for everything. Just let the game come. And my biggest concern is Robinson. Because ever since that game against Philly where he had those fumbles, that guy shut down up until last Sunday game when he played well.
Yeah.
He just needs to forget about that game and run, baby, run. You know, and let the game come, and we'll see who spins at the end.
Alex, we appreciate your call, brother. 301-230-0980. Marcus wants to check in. Marcus, what do you think is the biggest difference here in this Commanders-Eagles rubber match coming up on Sunday?
I think the biggest difference is probably going to be John Allen, but not necessarily for the run game. I mean, we got to be honest. Like, Saquon is going to Saquon, regardless of who he's matched up against. I think John Allen in the pass rush, getting pressures on Jalen Hurts, when he decides to drop back. I think that'll probably be the difference. You know, we can try to stop the run game as much as we can. You know, Jameer ran for 105 and another 70 through the air, and we still came out victorious. So if we don't absolutely shut down Saquon Barkley, I don't see Saquon rushing for 5 or 6 touchdowns. So as long as we can get that pressure on Jalen Hurts when he does go in the center and drop back, force him to make a couple turnovers or rush some things or just get the offense off the field. That'll probably be our best bet.
Marcus, appreciate the call as always. My brother. Yeah, I think, you know, both the last two callers make a good point. John Allen, not just a run defender, he's a pass rusher as well. And the one thing that I keep forgetting, and I don't know how I do, Jalen Hurts is banged up. He's got an injured wheel. He's not 100%. But my thing is this, whatever they tranquilized him with last Sunday,
thank you.
Yeah, they're going to tranquilize him with it again. He's going to be at 110% coming up on Sunday. No snow on the ground this week for Philadelphia. They're looking at these conditions coming up against this defense, and they're licking their chops. My big question is this. Can he beat you as a passer? And I don't think he can. That's the big difference to me. That's why I put all my attention towards Saquon Barkley. You got to make Jalen Hurts beat you as a thrower.
But he's got the talent because they don't have to run – a real eloquent passing tree.
It doesn't have to be cute.
Slants.
Yeah.
That's
the
double slants,
the number
slants.
One thing, yeah.
And either you get P.I. or he busts you for 15 or go to the house.
Yeah.
So they're so dangerous. And then Saquon, they hit him out the backfield. See, we think of Saquon getting the ball in his belly. I would throw it to Saquon 5 times a game.
Yeah. I'd live with the result, right?
Saquon would touch the ball 30 times if I was over there on the offense. I'm going to force feed Saquon.
Got to.
Because I need you to miss one tackle.
And boom.
And it's 30.
Yeah.
It's chunk. I need to beat you with chunk yardage.
Yeah.
And demoralize you. Because if I get you demoralized, I know now I can't. I got to be 21 up on you.
Yeah.
Because that dude you got in the fourth quarter, see, so I'm scared of him. So I already know.
Boogeyman.
I have to be up by 21. So that might give us a chance. What about if we're up? We never talk about what if we're up.
Well, that's the one thing that I think could potentially neutralize Philadelphia offensively. They've been prone to getting off the slow starts all year long, even in the postseason we've seen it.
Yep.
If Washington can continue what they've been doing offensively and jump out to a two-possession lead, whether it's 10-0, 14-0.
They'd have soiled trousers.
Exactly. It gets
they're going to panic.
It gets into the psyche of the offensive coordinator.
The pressure for them to succeed is incredible.
Oh, it's huge. And I don't agree with the old notion that Washington's playing with house money. I think they didn't make it this far to make it this far, like the last caller Alex said. But like you just said, all the pressure is on Philadelphia. And if they get into a situation where you're down a couple of scores early because you weren't as sharp offensively, then that's when the boogeyman gets to come out. 301-230-0980. A lot more to get to here on the Hoffman Show. The youngest in charge, Lynell Willingham in the DOC. Rick Doc Walker sitting in for Craig. A lot more to get to as we take you up to 7 o'clock. In about 15 minutes, our pal Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team going to join us. When we come back, though, I want to let you hear from Eagles center Jason Kelsey. He had a bold statement about Eagles and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Your calls plus Jason Kelsey next. Still rocking and rolling right along here on the Team 980. We're also streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Lynell Willingham, alongside the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take you up to 7 o'clock, sitting in for our guy, Craig Hoffman. Coming up in about 10 minutes, our pal Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team going to join us. We'll get his thoughts on Eagles and Commanders coming up on Sunday. We'll also ask him about Bills and Chiefs. Right now, we're taking your calls on the biggest difference in the Eagles and Commanders rubber match. And there are a lot to choose from. Sam Cosby's not going to be available in this game. Marshawn Lattimore, I would have to think, much healthier this time around than he was in that first meeting. And then the big one to me is the return of John Allen. But I got one more before we get back out to the calls. In that second meeting in Week 16 between Washington and Philadelphia, Vic Fangio blitzed Jaden Daniels on 33% of the snaps. During Washington's seven-game win streak, Jaden Daniels has a QBR of 98.5 when blitzed. So I would have to think, if you were Vic Fangio and you know the way the blitz hurt your defense the last time you played, how do you make any type of sense out of sending pressure at Jaden Daniels? I think the game plan for Philly has to be this. You have to have confidence that your horses up front within your front four can get home. The moment you have to commit five, six, and seven defenders to rushing at Jaden Daniels, he's going to make you pay. I haven't seen a young man at the quarterback position, a rookie at that, torch the blitz the way that Jaden Daniels has. To me, that is going to be the big difference here in this rubber match. We'll go back out to the phones, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Lap out in the city. What's going on, Lap? What do you think is the biggest difference here in this Commanders and Eagles rubber match? Lap, you there?
What, did Lap fall asleep?
Lap did fall asleep at the wheel. Let's go to Rob. What's the tap in? What's going on, Rob?
Fellas, how are you?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hey, Rob.
All right, this is Bob Rockville, Doc. Doc, two things basic. We got Casper, the friendly ghost at quarterback. He's on the field, but you think he's there, but when you time you get there, he's gone. They're reaching for air. They ain't coming with the blitz. They've already been poked in the eye with that so many times. If they do, he'll break at the 30, 40-yard run. He'll just run away from them. My main thing on defense, Doc, Allen healthy. Well, let's put Allen Payne Newton out there, put Day on one end, Holmes on the other, or Allen on one end and Holmes on the other, and get five up front, just like old Packer game way back in, and my little boy Frankie and Wagner straighten out the mess behind them. I just think they could stone them with that. Third series of the game, not right away, let them get comfortable. Then bust it up on them, Doc, and come off the blitz with that. 11 can get to the quarterback. Lock up 23 on tight coverage, but stay still on the other boy's six. I like what you're seeing. You got to drag 88 down at the line a little bit. Frankie will chase him. Chin will be there, and wait a minute. 20 comes up with the ball again. Oh, you know I'm drinking Jameson. I can catch a punt, but not get run with it like he can. I'm ready for him, baby. I'm ready for him. Let's skin them birds.
Bob, we appreciate you.
I like
as
your
always,
spirit, Bob.
Man.
I hope you're still alive on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm about to say, look, drinking Jameson, it's damn early. Good Lord, we hope you make it to Sunday, Bob. But no.
Yeah, I'm glad we have Joe Witt Jr. because he handled all that. I don't have to think about that kind of stuff.
I do agree with what Bob said. Bob drank some Jameson to turn into a defensive coordinator. He did say something smart, though. Playing five down defensive linemen against this group probably would be the way that I go too, just because you have the horses up front to do it. My thing is this, though, man. I don't know if it makes sense to try and send extra guys at Jalen Hurts. Make him read the entirety of the field. Make him sit back and hold on to the football. That, to me, would be the key to this. Wow, I actually can't believe Attorney Neil Jacobs.
No way.
Neil, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
No way. Sheehan allowed him to do this?
Listen, after your last appearance on his podcast, we had a long talk. He said, you can go on as long as it's on 980 and it's for less than 5 minutes. You can go on with Doc.
Yeah, he lets me go on his now once a month. I'm really happy.
It's beautiful to hear the two of you together. It brings me back to winning days, but actually, as far back as that was, we weren't winning then. So,
I know it. But just hearing his voice, he's back. He's back.
He is giddy.
Yeah.
He's giddy like a little schoolgirl.
I heard him with Willingham this weekend, and I could tell in his voice he is so excited, and he's making money.
His voice has gone up two octaves.
I know it. He doesn't know it yet, but if they go to the Super Bowl, then I'm gonna get the band. We got to get the band back together and do our pregame.
Linnell is a little too young to remember.
He was in the crib when we was doing this.
You and Mr. Lavera went back down there, and there were some, you know, some times, as I understand it, between the two of you and him being was it a crypto king then, or was it even crypto back then?
It wasn't even crypto back then, dog.
It was something. It was something. But let me just say this. There's no chance that Brian Robinson is fumbling the ball two times.
Well, for sure.
And there's no way we're turning the ball over five times, and even with that, we scored 36 points. So if we can just tighten up the ball in our hands, we're there. It's nothing new. It's fundamentals. Hold on to the ball, score, and we're there. It's going to be easy.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be easy, but it's doable.
I know.
Yeah,
it's doable.
Very doable.
Well, if you all listen,
and we've done it before.
If you all listened to Coach Quinn this week, I love the way he came out yesterday and said, look, you don't have any new schemes this time of year. You're not installing anything new. Can you execute your stuff at the highest level possible? And I think that's what it comes down to. Neil, we appreciate you as always. We got to hit a quick timeout. Our pal Dan Pizzuta of the 33rd team joins us next.